Welcome to the Business Life Podcast. I'm Mark Ford, MBA, and I'll be your host for a slightly longer podcast in this case. It's going to be about 40 minutes long. It's with a fantastic guest who has gone through adversity herself and has ended up starting her own business through adversity. So, without further ado, let's listen to this great interview with April Adams. Right, so I'm with April Adams. Now, April lives in Manchester, New Hampshire. So it's not the real Manchester. It's a copy Manchester over in America. I am genuinely grateful to have her online because it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon her time. It's 7 o'clock our time. And if you hear a slightly odd noise, apparently it's her fire alarm going off in the background. So if the interview is cut short, it's because her apartment is burning down. April, thank you so much for doing this. I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on. And I apologize for the high-pitched noise in the background.
Exactly. Back here in the UK, there are loads of Alsatian dogs getting really excited about now. They just think it's a dog whistle. It's fine. It's okay. Now, me and April have got together. I've been following April's posts quite regularly because of what I've been going through over this past year. And I started doing a little bit of digging about April. And if, ladies and gentlemen, you'd like to go and do a little bit of digging about April, you will realize a couple of things. April is on Facebook, but she's also got her own website, which is apriladams.org. And you'll also realize that she has possibly some of the craziest haircuts going. And I love that. Genuinely love it. Her website has got one of the craziest haircuts going. And I just think if we were to ever meet, I hope that just sums you up completely. I really do. But April has her own fantastic sort of like story where, you know, she realized that things weren't going well for her. And so, you know, as part of the business life that is out there, it's okay not to be okay. So that's why I've invited April on to come and talk to us about her story, what she's doing now, her purpose, and what she's doing for other people. So April, tell us a little bit about your story, how you've ended up helping other people, how you've ended up setting up apriladams.org. Tell us a little bit about you and where this has all come from.
Sure. So, you know, my inspiration for getting into business in the first place was from my own heartbreak and desperation. So I have always been obsessed with the honeymoon phase of relationships. I've always been literally devastated when the honeymoon phase ends. Mm-hmm. I'm that person who just wants that part of it to go on and on and on. Yeah. And so about 10 years ago, I had a point where it was, you know, there was like the absolute most beautiful, amazing, intense honeymoon phase I had ever found came to a more abrupt end than usual. It wasn't just the fading off into comfort. It was just like, you know, one day head over heels crazy all over each other. The next day, like, boom, door closed. Things shifted dramatically. So I was, you know, beyond devastated. I was actually suicidal about it. And I spent about 3 years chasing my partner around going, how can we change you? How can we make you back into the person I fell in love with? How can we get back to that honeymoon phase? And after about 3 years of that, creating a ton of misery for both of us, I was asking, why does this always happen to me? And that was the moment where I recognized, oh, I'm the common denominator here. So it's not the people that I'm with, it's me. You know, I've been with these other people and they don't have that need for the honeymoon phase to go on and on and on, but I do. So what is it about me that has that need that, you know, others don't necessarily have? So that's where I set out. You know, I went to therapy and the therapist told me I was a sex addict. So I stopped going to that therapist.
Did you stop having sex? I don't know. To be fair,
to be fair, I think she was Mormon or something. So it was, you know, not exactly a good matchup for, okay, you know, me to go to that particular therapist.
No, but, fair enough.
I've had good therapists in the past, so it's not that all therapists are, you know, like that, but it, I think at that moment was a signal for me to sort of go off on my own and figure out my own stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was reading some self-help books. I was reading Eckhart Tolle and Wayne Dyer, things like that. And I knew that I needed to do something that was just for me. So I signed up for a Reiki class. Mm-hmm. And the moment I felt the energy in my hands, I was suddenly home. You know, it was just this feeling of like, I am home. And this means that there is something else, a higher power or something. You know, it was just this instantaneous recognition. So mm-hmm. I started doing energy work. And before that, I had been working in high-end spas. So do facials, manicures, pedicures, things like that, which I was very good at and had been enjoying, but around that time stopped enjoying it, interestingly. So the energy work took off very quickly, but I was also finding that as I was doing the energy work on people, they were, you know, coming to me with a lot of the same struggles that I had been having. And so as I discovered things that helped me, like reading a lot of those self-help things and all of that, they were coming with the same issues. So I was kind of finding things out 5 minutes ahead of them and helping to guide them with their issues. And I was also finding that if all I did on people was energy work, that they would pretty much just come back with the same blockages and same issues like every time I saw them. Mm-hmm. So it evolved quickly into life coaching and energy work together, mm-hmm. Essentially through my own intuition and experience. But the more my intuition developed and the more that reading that I did, the more I was guided to work with the mind and the brain. So I still do energy work. I still do spiritual work. But my primary focus has become rewiring the brain. It's been all about unplugging the emotional charge from negative thoughts and memories. It's clearing PTSD. It's clearing phobias. Basically getting rid of whatever it is that triggers us. Because, you know, most people don't realize that there are new tools that we didn't know or have before, mm-hmm. that pretty much take care of what therapy used to do for us over years and years, that you can pretty much take care of in about, you know, 10 minutes at this point. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing. And that is the thing that finally fixed me. Because as I was doing all this spiritual work and doing all the reading and all the life coaching and all of that stuff, you know, I was peeling back layer after layer after layer of my issues. And so, you know, I dealt with the addictiveness of wanting that honeymoon phase. I dealt with the codependency issues, you know, all of these different issues and layers around that. But what was laying at the bottom of it was my belief that I was unwanted. But I didn't know that until I had all of the pieces of the puzzle in front of me. Mm-hmm. So basically what I did was I used one of these tools that I'm, you know, going to tell you about to clear my memories of any time that I've ever felt unwanted or believed that I was unwanted. Mm-hmm. But it took me a while because, I mean, I probably could have done that through hypnosis or something at some point through all of this had I known that that was the issue. But it took these other tools. Like I read this book the book is called The Erotic Mind. Mm-hmm. And Jack Morin, I think, is the author. Okay. And he's a sex therapist who helps people figure out their life issues through their sex lives and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And what he has to do is write down your top two favorite sexual fantasies and your top two favorite all-time sexual moments. So if your sex life could look a certain way every time, that would be it. So you're writing those down because every single one of us as human beings use our sex lives to try to get the needs that were unmet when we were children met now with our romantic partners. Mm-hmm. So whatever it was that our parents didn't give us or whatever wounds we had when we were growing up, we're trying to get those fixed now by expecting our romantic partners to interact with us in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So if you can boil those down to what emotional need is getting met in each of those scenarios, you've got your root issues. Your biggest issues in life are always going to be found through those that practice. Mm-hmm. So for me, every single one of those was about being wanted. Mm-hmm. And so then I asked the classic psychology question, when was the first time you were unwanted? And I had all these light bulbs going off over my head because I had been an unwanted pregnancy. So at my very creation, at the moment that someone discovered I existed, there was an unwanted energy. So now I had no emotional charge around thinking I was an unwanted pregnancy. I had no judgment around that. I mean, my mom was 17 when she got pregnant. So, you know, I did not blame her in the least, and I didn't feel hurt at the thought of having been an unwanted pregnancy. However, regardless of that, it was still affecting me. I just didn't know it. So, you know, most of us go around, you know, thinking, oh, well, I don't have any feelings around that, so it's not affecting me. But on a subconscious level, it very much is. So, you know, on a subconscious level, I had constantly been running the program, you're unwanted. And anytime I interacted with someone, especially a romantic partner, what was going through my head was always this course of thoughts like, why aren't you proving you want me? You know, it would be, why aren't we having sex more often? Why aren't you all over me? Why aren't you flirting with me right now? What?
Yeah.
It was just like this incessant flow of that thought. So when I did that process and I boiled it down to the unwanted thing, I used a hypnosis track called PS Tech, which is an 11-minute track that you listen to, that basically confuses your conscious mind so much and distracts it so much that the suggestion on the recording is able to get to your subconscious mind. So even for people who have never been able to be hypnotized through relaxation, this works for everyone. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So I used that track while I thought about the entire timeline of every time I could think of that I had felt unwanted. So, you know, I was feeling the emotions of the most recent rejections because that's where the emotional intensity was. But I was thinking about, I was an unwanted pregnancy. My mother and father divorced when I was one because they had only gotten married because of me. So I probably thought my dad didn't want me. And then my mom sent me to play by myself a lot. So she, you know, I felt like she didn't want me. And then I'd flirt with 5-year-old boys to try to get attention, and they didn't want any part of that. So they didn't want me. And then every romantic partner ended the honeymoon phase first. So they didn't want me. So that was my stream of thoughts. And it was mm-hmm. essentially like that. And any memories that I could come up with of those kinds of things as examples, I would just visually in my head pop them in. But otherwise, I mean, it was fine to even just acknowledge each of those things.
I would just like to say on the behalf of 5-year-old boys, to be perfectly honest, 5-year-old girls genuinely probably weren't of our greatest interest after we got the first kiss. I've got to be honest. Playing war, playing spaceships, kiss chase occasionally was quite good. Did you play Kiss Chase in America? I don't know these things.
Yes.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay.
We did, but it was a little later. I don't think it was at 5 or 6. It was more like in 3rd or 4th grade. So,
okay. So you sort
more
of
like nine. More 10. Like, you know, 9 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, it's banned over here now. So, you know, honestly
I'm sure it is here too.
Well, I'm sure it is because somebody gets sued somewhere. So, you know, okay. Sorry, I know that was slightly random. I know it's a very British thing to do, but, you know, I just thought I'd put that out there, really. As a 5-year-old boy, trust me, once we got the first kiss out of the way, not really interested in girls until I probably hit about 13 myself, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, I think part of where the wounding was, because at that, you know, I had spent my whole life really obsessed with romantic love and wanting to pair up. And so, you know, there's this huge amount of time where boys just aren't interested. And so, you know, what is this girl to do who wants someone to be in love with her and wants that romantic love and wants to play, I'll show you mine if you show me yours and all of that. Like, what do you do when mm-hmm. the other side isn't interested? You know? So yeah. I think that was probably part of the, you know, the continuation of the programming of feeling and being unwanted. But I'll tell you that once I did that clearing of that timeline of stuff, I stopped having that loop of thoughts in my head. So I started to interact with my partner, and I was about 3/4 of the way through a very comfortable conversation when I realized, I'm not sitting here thinking, why aren't you flirting with me? Why aren't we having more sex? Why, you know, it was just completely gone. So I was just suddenly able to have a completely normal, relaxed conversation with my romantic partner instead of obsessing and freaking out about why it wasn't some other way.
Yeah.
And so that, it's kind of funny because, of course, once you get rid of that obsession and you're not putting that energetic pressure on the other person, things shift dramatically. And so our relationship has gotten even better. And even the sex life has gotten even better because I'm no longer having that energetic pressure of, you know, why don't you do this and why aren't you doing that? And So, yeah, it's shifted dramatically in a lot of different ways.
So how has this got you into business then? So obviously you've sorted out your own issues, and it's genuinely, it's I think some of the best coaches in the world have gone and sorted their own issues out. I mean, I was incredibly fortunate to have spent some time with Tony Robbins this past weekend here in the UK in London.
Wonderful.
And he, you know, he did a 3.5, he was only meant to be doing 3 hours, but he ended up doing 3.5 hours, and it seemed like 20 minutes by the time he'd finished. And if you look at the pictures, I may actually put the pictures online, actually on the show notes, so that people can see that actually the guy was in my lap pretty much for 2 hours. It was mental. But he's obviously come from a very difficult background himself, where he had an alcoholic mother who ended up actually chasing him out of the house with knives and all that sort of stuff. And he really went through a real beat through to get where he is. So what made you decide, you know, you've got yourself fit, you've got yourself sorted. And I genuinely think some of the best coaches in the world are people that have been damaged in some way and then find a reason to help other people. So what was your reason to help other people and get into business?
Well, I would say that it really had a lot to do with that initial feeling of recognition, that, you know, instant purpose that I felt when I started doing Reiki. It shifted something for me where suddenly, you know, I was no longer happy with working for someone else and working under their rules and their conditions. I pretty much within a year after getting attuned to Reiki was working for myself. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty fast transition.
It's pretty quick. Right,
yeah. So I found that working in a spa, even though they were allowing me to offer Reiki services there, first of all, they limited me to an hour, and I felt like that wasn't enough when my intuition was kicking in and I had guidance to offer them, and I wanted them to have practices they could do at home to continue their progress. So, and also, it became pretty spiritual for me right away. So I wanted to be able to talk to people about spiritual things. And you know, people aren't looking for that in a spa, and you don't really feel comfortable when that's somebody else's space to start, talking about New Age stuff. So,
yeah,
I started looking for a space very quickly to rent for myself, and I found that grew really quickly, really easily. So, you know, clear guidance to build that. And also at the same time, the spa I was working in was changing a lot, different employees, the owner was being different. It was, you know, a lot of shifting happening there where I was no longer comfortable working there anymore. So, you know, there was a lot of conspiring on behalf of the universe to continue moving me toward, you know, doing that line of work. So I kept lessening my hours at the spa and expanding my hours in my private business. And as soon as I gave my notice at the spa to be done with it, my business really took off in my personal business. So that grew very quickly. And I just found that it was so incredible that every single thing I was doing for myself to heal myself was so incredibly helpful for all of the people who were coming to me. It was like I was attracting everyone who was going through the exact same issues that I was going through. Mm-hmm. So it was like I couldn't figure out whether I was doing, learning things and having things happen to me and all of that for myself, or if it was for the people I was working on. It was,
yeah.
So it was just a beautiful thing to be able to help others by just walking my path and helping myself and figuring out my own crap. And that's pretty much how it's worked all along. I mean, certainly there have been ups and downs. I've been probably doing this for about 7 or 8 years now. And it hasn't always been easy. It hasn't always been, you know, profitable. I would say even that a lot of the times when you first start a business, it's, you know, the money just keeps going right back into the business.
Yeah.
So it was fortunate that, you know, the home life situation allowed for me to primarily just flow the money that was coming in right back into the business to keep it supporting itself. And, you know, it's only been recently that it's been moving in the direction of being able to not only support itself, but contribute to the household as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge step in the right direction. And that's something I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't really realize, you know, how hard it's going to be to, yeah. you know, really build enough to be able to support a business and a household with that income.
Sure. Do you think sort of like having gone through what you went through has helped you? Obviously, it's helped you deliver a business because that's pretty much what you do, but it's helped you prepare for business, because business, being in business is not easy. And I'm hazarding a guess that, you know, therapies like yourself, like the ones that you offer as an example, are becoming more and more popular as people are trying to turn away from tablets, trying to turn away from pills and potions and things like that, that they, you know, the doctors want to churn out because it's pretty much what they're paid to do, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you kind of think that that almost holistic background has kind of helped you prepare for business, so that, you know, when you are down, when it is rough, when it is tough, do you know what? It's okay not to be okay, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think that having to learn how to cope with your own, you know, day-to-day emotional issues certainly prepares you for the emotional ups and downs of money worries and worrying about getting enough clients and all of that. Like, it gives you the coping skills you need, the manifesting skills you need, that, you know, like just mm-hmm. everything that you learn to improve yourself and heal yourself emotionally certainly applies to, you know, your own money blockages and all of the other issues that people can have business-wise. For sure.
Yeah, it is. It's tricky. I always think it's a, and I've said it on the podcast before, that I always think it's a special type of person, a brilliant type of person, in fact, that goes self-employed, that works for themselves, because there has to be something inside them that makes them want to go and do that. Because if they weren't brilliant, if they weren't special, do you know what? They'd probably go and stack some shelves at Walmart. They go and work for somebody else. It would be far sure. easier to go and work for other people than it is to work for themselves. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually, I don't know if you saw my post this morning, but I posted something about a friend who recently wrote a book called You're Not Too Much. And she has come up with this whole subset of personalities. I equate it to the whole introvert-extrovert thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a completely different set of properties and things that these people have. It, you know, it's not related to introvert, extrovert, but it's similar in that, you know, some people are expansives, like the vast amount of the population would be expansives, which are people who can kind of do a lot of different things. They have a lot of different interests. They can kind of take it easy. They're not super intense. You know, when they like something, it's not necessarily their whole world. But there are also intensives. And that's primarily what this book is about when she's saying you're not too much. Intensives are the people who put all of their focus onto one thing. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like when they're in love, that's their whole world. When they start a new business, that's their whole world. It's an obsession. You can't do anything else. Expansives, the typical person in the world could never throw themselves into something so intensely to be able to make that their living. But an intensive, you know, that tends to be who becomes the entrepreneur, because they will throw their whole self into that because they can't imagine doing anything else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm reading the post here, actually. I'm going to read it out, actually, because I've got it right here in front of me. You and I are, the daft thing is, I'm sat here and we're chatting, and this, ladies and gentlemen, is the first time actually myself and April have spoken, apart from a few minutes before we started recording. And April and I, it would possibly be, could be said that we have a lot of similarities, scarily so, has to be honest. But the post reads here, I love when the pieces of a puzzle just come together. Intensity has always been a thing for me. I've been told that I talk about even everyday things as though they were massively important. When I'm interested in something, it is all there is. I recently found myself wondering why I can't do anything in moderation. Then a friend wrote a book called You're Not Too Much. It's Leela Sinner. Would that be right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. She calls my type an intensive, while referring to the majority of the population as expansive. Most people could do moderation, spread out their time and interests, do nothing from time to time, but not an intensive. Sometimes it can be a little too intense. Being an intensive comes with tension. And I'm also reading a book called The Amen Solution, which talks about brain types and eating styles by Daniel Amen, which is a great name. Turns out I medicate my tension with food. And he suggests a supplement to curb that tension. Interestingly, it takes the tense out of being intensive. I've just started on it, so I have no idea what the long-term effects are, but it feels great so far. So if you're an intensive, intent about everything, I highly recommend both books. Good stuff. So what sort of things is it in the Amen Solution? I know we're going off on a tangent here, but what sort of things is he suggesting that we eat? Because that's one of the first times I've ever heard that sort of like come across my bow, so to speak.
Sure. Yeah. So Daniel Amen or Amen, I'm not sure exactly how he prefers to.
Yeah, I was a Catholic boy, so I'm just saying that. Okay.
Yeah. I've been saying it that way too. He is a doctor, and he's actually the guy who has a YouTube video that's going around on Facebook right now that says something about what I learned from 86,000 brain scans. And he's kind of he's a brain specialist, and he helps people figure out how to fix their brains after a traumatic injury to their brains. So he's doing a lot of work with football players and stuff like that. But he has written, 20-something books on helping the brain to heal and keeping yourself from getting Alzheimer's. The Amen Solution is basically something about helping you to have perfect brain health, keeping you thin and fit, and also making you happier. So the foods, you know, I mean, first of all, he goes over these different brain types that we all have and what each of the brain types forces us to do food-wise. And a lot of times it's self-medicating, but sometimes it's compulsiveness or impulsiveness. But he has certain supplements and certain types of foods that each of those individuals would need. Mm-hmm. But overall, for general brain health, he talks about a 70% fruit and vegetable, 30% protein kind of diet with very few carbs and stuff like that. So that's his primary focus. And I'm sure, you know, I think a lot of it is geared toward being anti-inflammatory and things like that. So his is a little different than other ones that, you know, like the Whole 30 is, you know, like no carbs, no sugar, nothing. So his isn't quite as strict or intense as that, but it's along the same lines. It's basically that gluten is killing us. It's, you know, creating a lot of inflammation, which I was devastated about because I was raised by a sugar addict, and you know, bread and pastries and things like that are my favorite thing. So it's it's not easy to switch over. But he talks about, you know, because I have that intensive brain type, and because I, you know, tend to have a lot of tension, and I sort of eat to curb that. That's what a person who eats a lot of pasta and bread and stuff like that, they're trying to soothe themselves from their tension with all those carbs, because it helps you feel a little calmer. So he talks about taking GABA, G-A-B-A, as something to help you feel the way that you're trying to make yourself feel with those foods, so that you don't feel pulled toward eating those foods all the time. And actually, the funny thing is that you actually, you know, in nature, get that from eating a lot of meat.
So, yes.
So, you know, even though you try to get it through carbs, if you're trying to activate your GABA in your body, you do it through eating meat, because that activates that in your brain. But I've gone the route of just taking a GABA supplement, which I just started yesterday. But just in taking one dose, I felt right away sort of like I was on a soft little cloud of comfort and peace. And I didn't lose any of my mental function or anything like that, but I just found that I wasn't so tense, like in my chest, in my belly. I was just much more relaxed and just sort of going with the flow. So, so far so good with that, but we'll see if that continues, you know, once it's become a regular thing.
Okay, cool. You know what, guys, what I'll do is I'll put the links to those two books on the show notes. You can go and have a look at those. That sounds a really, really good, really, well, a very different approach to things. So it's something that I'm going to go and have a look at as well. April, we're going to have to wrap this up. So I tell you what, tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now, and what people can find out a little bit about you, where they can find out what sort of good work you're doing, and how you're helping people.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm an author on Amazon. I've published 3 books on Amazon so far. I have another ebook coming out soon. I am not the April Adams who writes about gymnastics. So,
are you not? Oh, that's so disappointing. Ladies and gentlemen, I booked the wrong guest. I really have. No, I'm joking.
If you look for April Adams on Amazon, you look for the other one. You know, my books are Essence, Less Logic, More Wisdom, and Crack the Longing Code. And Crack the Longing Code is the one that really focuses a lot on the PS Tech stuff and my own journey with figuring out my biggest issue. So it actually walks people through the exact process I did to get rid of my biggest thing. And it also shows people how to download PS Tech easily, other ways that you can use it. And then I also have an ebook that I'm about to put out. And the ebook is Surviving the Election with Your Sanity Intact.
I tell you, yeah, seriously, over here in the UK, we're all quite impressed by all of you. When I was in New York in May, I was talking to a taxi driver about this in the back of a cab, and he was talking to us about the election, and he said, you know what, it is what it is. It's the best of a bad job. And I'm going to be honest here, guys. If any of you are listening in America, you lot see this as an election. We see it as an IQ test. We really do, honestly, because the thought of Donald Trump scares us. It really does. We're digging bunkers here in the UK, just in case he presses that button. So please, for God's sake.
Good idea.
Yeah, it is. Honestly, it's the scariest thing. But that's a great title. That really is a great title.
Yeah. So, you know, that just helps walk people through, once again, primarily using PS Tech to clear a lot of trauma and issues around that. But also linking it to any kind of wounds from the past, because a lot of times when you're triggered by something now, it has a lot to do with what you've been hurt by before. So that's what that's all about, and that should be out probably within a week or so. Yeah, for the show notes, I will send the PS Tech links to you so that you can share those with people, because they're free downloads that people can use at home on themselves. And essentially what you would use that for is, you know, whatever your traumas and fears are, you essentially just sit there and think about those things while you feel your feelings about them, and it unplugs that emotional charge from that, so you no longer have those fight or flight chemicals that rush through you when you think about that thing. Now, most people have a few things like that that are obvious, but then my specialty is helping people when they can't figure out what it is they're supposed to be thinking about in order to clear something, because a lot of times things go deeper than just the current situation. So that's what I really specialize in helping people with, figuring out how to clear the deeper things. So that's, you know, that's the major thing that I tend to do, both, you know, in my books and workbooks, as well as in private sessions and stuff like that. So I will send the links out for that. And business-wise, it's really great, because if you have a fear of public speaking, if you have issues with organizing yourself money-wise, I have found that doing PS Tech around fear of speaking, doing PS Tech around, you know, not enjoying doing, you know, organizing my money or doing spreadsheets and stuff like that. I actually enjoy doing spreadsheets now, where before it really kind of made me tense up when I thought about it.
That's probably about 95% of the population then, really.
Yeah.
So this could actually benefit everybody then.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, really all you have to do is think your worrying thoughts that you're already thinking and feel your worrying feelings that you're already feeling, but do it while you listen to this track. And it unplugs those things from each other so that you're not having that reaction to that issue anymore. Wow. So it's, you know, pretty much does in 11 minutes what 11 years of therapy do for people. So it's amazing stuff. Yes.
Absolutely brilliant. Yes. Absolutely brilliant. April, do you know what? This has been an absolute pleasure. And I guarantee that the listeners have got something out of this. I'll put April's website on the show notes. I'll put her Facebook page on the show notes. Go follow her. Some of the stuff that she comes out with is just, do you know what? Just in recent months, it's really hit home with me. And this has actually been a privilege for me to be talking to you, just simply because I know that you've helped me through, without really knowing about it, you've helped me through a couple of dark nights and a couple of dark times. So genuinely, it's been an absolute privilege being able to talk to you.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. And I really hope that people have got something out of this, because, you know, as we talked about before we recorded, you know, my thing is that, you know, one in four business owners will struggle at some point in the next 12 months. Yes, it's great to make money, and yes, it's great to be successful, but we also have to realize that people have lives as well. And if they're successful and they make money at the expense of their personal lives, that's not cool. That's not good, because obviously people can't enjoy it. And other things then go on and happen. So that was one of the reasons me getting you on board to come and talk to us on the podcast, is obviously you've gone through your own journey. Your journey has now led to a business journey, which I'm sure is going to go from strength to strength. And genuinely, I think people are going to draw some inspiration from you and your story. So thank you so much, April. It really is appreciated.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
What a great interview that was. Heart on her sleeve type of stuff. A little bit of banter between the British and the Americans is always good. But it goes to show that sometimes out of adversity, you can just grab a chance and make brilliant business out of it. And hopefully she's given you some great ideas also to implement into your lives as well. Because, hey guys, you know, business is not 24/7. Stop working in the business, start working on the business, and start working on yourself. And you'll find that you're a whole heap happier and probably more successful at the same time. Look, there's loads of stuff going on in the show notes. There'll be loads of links. It's probably going to take me about an hour to write all the show notes, which will be quite fun. So go and have a look at them. Go and have a look at the links. Have a couple of look at the links to some of my stuff as well. I've got some freebies on there for you as well. So guys, until next time, go out, be brilliant, and I'll see you on the other side. Take care. Bye-bye.